I'm an alcoholic. Thank Bill and the group here for having me here. I'd also like to thank my my sponsor, Jose, who's a speaker here tonight. And like Bill was saying, he had some health issues. He called me up late this afternoon and asked me if I'd come. And I learned some years ago that when the hand of AA reaches out there, I've never turned down any service, and Jose's been my sponsor for 20 years. My sobriety date is September 15, 1990. And I am a firm believer that through the grace of God that I'm standing up here sober tonight. And what a miracle, what a journey it's been. And my God, most important thing that I can say, and I repeat it to myself every day, was when I first came in the AA, was when you folks, that just like you started the meeting here, is there anybody that is in their first 30 days? I made sure I was an alcoholic before I came into AA. I didn't want to make any mistakes. So having to raise my arm and my hand and say, my name's Marco, I'm an alcoholic, was the most important thing that I did 20 years ago. And it's the most important thing that I'll say this evening. Because it's a reminder for me, that I'm always a drink away from that insanity, that insane life that I lived for so many years. You find folks that taught me years ago that, when I have an opportunity to speak, that I share my experience, strength, and hope. I'll tell you what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. My story is that I'm 54 years old. I just turned 54 yesterday. That's the other birthday. That's the belly button. I come from a fairly large family. 1963, my parents found it good enough to cross the border and bring their family to a small town called Woodland, which is just north of Sacramento. My parents were labor contractors. So five boys, one girl. I'm a twin. My better half, he's not one of us. He got the better genes. And they were hardworking people, and they insisted that that their children work at a young age. So everything I ever wanted to learn, I learned at a very young age. I was working by the time I was 10. Come from a drinking family. It was okay to drink with the tias and the theos and and it was okay. And it was okay to drink with them, and that was fine. Through the steps of AA, I can look back over the years as I worked through the steps. I can tell you about my family is that I had a loving parents. They provided a good home, and they did the best they could. They drank. One of them drank a lot more than the other, but I hold myself completely responsible for my drinking and for my actions. And again, it's through the steps that I was able to get to that. I felt out of place at a very young age. My brothers were stronger, faster than I was. My sister was the youngest. She was prettier than I was. And I just always felt out of place in my family. At 12 years old, growing up and having some tasters during the younger years, at 12, I had my real first drink. We were throwing a graduation party for my older brother. We threw a big party, and my twin brother and I decided to help ourselves to the open bar, and I drank just about everything I could get my hand on. I got drunk, I got sick, I blacked out, and that was the beginning of my drinking. As an alcoholic likes to say, I drank for the effect. I found out that night that that alcohol took that weird feeling of feeling out of place in the family. It took that weird feeling of just feeling as a shy, real introvert kid, you know, I just didn't feel right, you know. I couldn't do sobriety at 12 years old, you know. I needed a drink. And alcohol saved my life at a very young age. It started a long career of drinking for me. I started a good drinking relationship with my mom. She woke me up that morning. I felt embarrassed. And her and my dad told me, he goes, son, we're about to teach you how to drink. And what a wonderful thing, you know. And my mom was one of my best drinking buddies for years. But, you know, for you addicts out there, you know, my story has a lot of drugging, you know, and I'll put the plug on it. When I first came into AA, I turned around to what would be my sponsor and asked Jose, I go, hey, what am I? I'm alcoholic, addict. Am I addict, alcoholic? You know, I'm confused. He goes, what was your choice? And what did you really go for, you know? And it was always been booze. It was always been alcohol, you know? So not to be confusing anymore. So I just, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And drugs were a big part of my story, you know? But at the end, it was always alcohol. It was always the booze. It was always the booze that saved me, you know? And certainly, all the chemicals really kept me drinking and drinking and probably got me here at a younger age, you know. I was 33 years old when I came in. And, you know, as a young boy, I'd like to think, as most of us, you know, I'll speak for myself, you know. I've always wanted to prove myself, you know. My brothers were stronger and faster than I was, and I felt like a weakling, you know. I felt like I had to prove myself to my parents. So at a young age, you know, I got everything I ever wanted in my life. You know, I admired my father. He was a really strong, big burly guy. He was a big drinker. He was the kingdom of his domain. You know, he could come and go. He was a gambler. He was a womanizer, you know, and made a lot of money and lost a lot of money. And you know, he had his family, he had his home, and that's all I ever wanted in life, you know, was to get a family, you know, and have a job and just sit back and drink and enjoy it, you know. So to prove myself at 17 years old, I joined the U.S. Marine Corps. Went in a buddy system and back in 1974 with a bunch of other jarheads, and I got my license to kill. You know, I was going to be a badass. You know, I wanted to go to Vietnam, Cambodia. I don't care what it's going to be. You know, I wanted to go there and prove myself. You know, but this is a program of honesty. That means I can't stand up here and tell tall tales. I can't stretch the story. I can't bullshit you, you know. And the truth about that is that I did get that license, but God deemed it right. You know, looking back over the years, I always felt that, you know, somebody or something was watching over me, you know. It's like, Mark, we ain't gonna get you hurt here, you know. Half of my platoon ended up in Cambodia, and I landed on the shores of Hawaii, you know. And I turned in my M16, and they gave me a typewriter. So there's my badass story, right? I got out, and I got married while I was in the Corps. I had two girls, and got everything I ever wanted in my life. I was fortunate to get hired by this large utility company, which I still work for. I got 34 years with them. And again, you know, it's by, I don't know, maybe willpower that I didn't lose that job over the years, you know. So the only reason I held on to that job was so I could just continue to drink. Had everything I ever wanted, lost it, got divorced before I was 21. And that was when I crossed that invisible line that we like to talk about here. You know, I went from a cucumber to a pickle. Yeah, I couldn't go back, you know. I was drinking myself to death. You know, that's my big boo-hoo story, you know. really felt sorry for myself, and it was the beginning of a resentment that I carried for a lot of years, and it almost killed me. So I drank over it, you know? Hey, she left me, and I'll be honest with you, we fought over the kids. Neither one of us wanted those kids. I didn't want them. I didn't want them. She didn't want them, you know? You know, I was the kind of parent that I was a loser at a parent, you know? I remember after I got divorced and before I transferred down here to Fresno, I'd be driving around and get my kids, two girls, 1.5 and 3, you know? Take them to my shitty apartment, you know, and have them enjoy my shitty life, right? And I was always drinking. I would always drink and drive, you know? And I didn't know the first thing about parenthood, you know? I was 20 years old. I didn't know how to even take care of myself, you know? I'd have them in the back seat, you know, and one of them, you know, Sarah would start crying, you know? It's like, young kids crying just drove me insane, you know? I just couldn't stand it, you know? And, you know, the good father that I was, I'd give her my bottle of beer and she'd start drinking it so I can calm her down, you know? You know, and I wonder why my kids are so screwed up as the years went by, you know? Yeah, that's the kind of father that I was, you know? I made my first Geographic back then, and I ran away from all my problems. Got transferred here to north of here to Fresno, and my God, in the next 13 years, I moved 24 different times. You know, I think people in AA know about Geographics. And I had 5 different apartments in the same complex. You know. Yeah, that's not sound mind. That's insanity, you know? You know, one place would get dirty, it's time for a new one, you know? I need a 2-bedroom instead of the 1, you know? I want downstairs this time, you know? I just couldn't stop running, you know? And not to bore you with a long drunkalogue, but from those years, I'll tell one story from the time I was 21 till I was 33, alcohol had the grips. It had me by the cojones. And I slowly started to sink down lower and lower and lower. Again, I'll be honest, I didn't care about you. I didn't care about my kids. I didn't care about my family. I didn't care about my employer. I didn't give a shit about myself or anybody, you know. All I cared about was just, here's to you. You know, and I didn't realize that, you know, I was really just going insane. I felt so sorry for myself. I had that, I had such a pitiful life. It's just terrible to think back at times. But on the other hand, you know, like as alcoholics like to talk, you know, I could think of a lot of times that when I was out there drinking and using, God, they were some of the best times of my life. You know, they were some of the best times of my life. And I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, I couldn't stand sobriety. You know, anything. The reason that I drank was, as I started to come to, was, you know what? I couldn't stand the kids. I couldn't stand my boss. I couldn't stand my life. You know, I couldn't stand what I looked like. I couldn't stand where I was going to, where I had come from, and where I was going, you know? I couldn't stand what my mind was telling me. And the bottle was just quiet my mind. It was just quiet everything, you know? So I constantly had to drink and just stay drunk year after year after year. One bottom I would talk about was that when I was probably about 26 years old, I told myself, you know what, I'm gonna get my shit together here. I'm gonna get it together, you know. I had 3 other roommates. They were 3 ex-jar heads. And they were just the biggest loser that I was. You know, and I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to settle down, go turn things around. And I bought this house, and I wasn't going to take any of these losers with me. But, you know, I didn't want to be alone. You know, I hated drinking alone, you know. They needed a place to stay. You know, and I didn't have the courage enough to tell them, you know what, go and get your own place. So I took them in. My house turned into an animal house. You know, we were all womanizers, you know, we were just breaking hearts and taking names later, you know, and And I had two bars in the living room, you know? We had two bars in the living room, you know? I had a little sweatshop in the garage. You know, that was the front for the coke dealer. And, you know, and I tell you, you know, I tried to go into sales, and I would always lose my butt, you know? You know, I'd buy a pound, and I'd lose, you know? I could never make any money, so I would just keep it to myself. I said, forget it, you know, this is just for me, you know? And I was a loser at life. I was a loser at life, and everything that I touched, my hands, just, I either hurt it, I abused it, and I left it worse than what I had found it, you know? Right about when I was 31 years old, I was about 6 months behind on my mortgage payment. You know, there's four of us, and we can't even make a mortgage payment, you know? So, made a mistake and found out that I could get my hands on my retirement. So I raped and pillaged my retirement. I got caught up with my mortgage. And I was going to turn my life around this time. I was going to fire these guys, kick them out of my house, and start all over again, right? So I was going to sell my house. Got a friend who was a realtor. And I told him, Mr. Fiodor, you know, hey, sell my house, okay? I got to get out of here, man. I don't care what you do or what you get me, you know. I want out. So I want to get rid of these losers. I want to move on. Yeah, I just can't take this anymore. I'll help you. 45 days later, he calls him back. He says, Marco, I got good news. I got bad news, you know. I go, give it to me, you know. He goes, good news is I sold your house. Bad news is that I didn't make any money for you. I said, I don't care. He goes, that's fine, man. So I went back home, kicked those roommates out. And told him adios. You know, it was nice knowing you guys. I had to go find myself an apartment, you know. And these were blood brothers, man. We had lived together for 10 years, you know. We had shared everything in our lives together, you know, the women, the drugs, the booze, everything, you know. And I was just so sick of them. I was so sick of myself. Just so sick of my life. I hated it. I wanted to get away from that, you know. And about that time, I got a phone call from the Chicago Title Company. Says, this is Mr. Elizondo? Yes. What do you want? Says, hey, Mr. Elizondo, we have we made a mistake on your mortgage here, and we have a check for you, you know? And I kind of brightened up, you know? I said, hey, they got some money for me, you know? I'll be right down, and I'll pick that up, you know? So I went down to the Chicago Title Company in Fresno, come in, and, yeah, I'm looking for souls. Well, she's in the back, you know? And I had to picture myself. I look back and, you know, 23 years ago, yeah, I had long hair down past my shoulders, you know, and I always wore this black Harley Davidson vest, you know, and had these black cowboy shoes. You know, I was never a cowboy. I never rode a Harley, you know. I had this phony facade about myself, you know. You know, it's just, you know, I'm a badass, you know, but... Again, I'll tell you the truth, you know, I was always dying inside, you know, having all these badass roommates and stuff, you know, we go and rape and pillage and raise hell and shit, you know, and I put myself to sleep at night, you know, and I cry. I tell you, man, Marco, you're a loser, man. My life wasn't going anywhere, you know. This is how bad I was, you know. And, so I went back there and met so-and-so at the Chicago Title Company. I said, where's it at, you know? Give me the check, you know? And you know how you meet somebody, you know, and they kind of standoffish and they're afraid of you, you know? I knew I kind of looked pretty ugly, you know, but, you know, then too, you know, I was stoned out of my mind. I had alcohol in my breath, you know? She's going, well, Mr. Elizondo, you know, she started to go on the long explain. Like, hey, just give me the money, man. I got to go. She gave me the check, and I looked at it. And they cut me a check for 50 cents. My big investment, man. So I go back home to my... I go back home to my home. And I turn to my partner, Leo. I go, here's your 25 cents, asshole. Get the hell out of my life. These are investments, you know. And I stayed out another 3 years. And I can tell you... It just got worse. You know? And, you know, there's a lot of new people here. A lot of new people here with less than a year. I can tell you, you know, what happened is one day I beat up the apartment and I decided to, I had that moment of clarity. I'm sure you people have heard that phrase, you know, and we alcoholics have that moment of clarity. This alcoholic had that moment of clarity when he was out there in the midst of my insanity. I said, I got to do something. So I went and got some help and went to Kaiser Hospital, outpatient, got a doctor. And he assessed me in 5 minutes, and he had me figured out, right? I was stoned out of my mind. I'm reeking like weed and beer, you know. And I gave him my boo-hoo story. You know, she left me. Nobody loves me. You know, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, you know. Marco, you know, certainly you have a lot of problems here, you know. You're divorced, and, you know, you got a lot of problems here. You know, we'll certainly talk about it, but let's address your drinking here. And he had me, you know. I sat down with Dr. David, and, you know, the short of the story is after 3 months after sitting down with this doctor, you know, we'd be in groups. We do a lot of one-on-one. And I told him one afternoon, I go, David, you know, I'm sick of you, you know. I come in here, and I talk. All you do is sit there and listen and just nod your head, man. I'm sick of it, man. You know, you won't give me any prescription drugs, you know. You're fired, man. Yeah, I fired my doctor. And he told me, you know what, Marco? Because you're right, man. I can't help you. And he told me the most important thing. I'll never forget it. He says, I can't help you because you're an alcoholic, Marco. It's the one thing I can tell you, that you're an alcoholic, and I can't help you. So you go to AA. And he had me, you know. It took me another 6 months to have enough courage to pick up a phone book and make a phone call. I called Central Office in Fresno, and they directed me to the Village Group at Palm and Shaw at that time. Back in September of 1990. And I tell you, getting sober was the beginning of all my problems, man. It was the beginning of all my problems. You know, you hear all this happy horse shit, people coming in. You know, I walked in, my eyes were all bright. The lights were bright, and, you know, the smiles and the happy, the hugs and all that stuff. You know, I didn't feel like that when I came in. I didn't like it here. I was pissed off. I was angry. I was insane, you know, but I knew deep down somewhere in the bowels of my sick soul that I belonged here. I couldn't run. I had to stop running. And so I raised my hand that evening. I said, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. What do I do? You know, it was the beginning of all my problems, you know, because all I would hear from people like you out in this audience here, you know, I would hear, you would start to recite me and quote the big book. You know, Marco, you're doomed to an alcoholic death if you continue to drink, or you change your life and walk a spiritual life. Change everything about your life. Doomed to an alcoholic death, or change everything about your life and walk in a spiritual life. You know, I had to go home and think about it. You know, I don't know, man. Let me think about it. Doomed to an alcoholic death, or get sober. I don't know. You know, it was tough. It was tough making that decision. Even knew I belonged here. You know, it's like, my God, it's September, you know? I can't drink anymore. I can't drink for the rest of my life. Maybe we get a day off around here? About New Year's, Christmas, my God, you know? A couple, you know? Can I do a little marijuana maintenance here? You know, I got to take the edge off, man. You know, I'm working on my fourth step, man. It's taking me back, you know. I'm going nuts. And I got enough courage. 30 days. I had enough courage one night. I put that foolish pride aside. That foolish pride has been killing me. It's been killing me all these years. And I went up to my sponsor. He's been my sponsor for 20 years. He should be here tonight. And I asked him, Jose, can you help me? I've never asked anybody for help in my life. And he did. What he did, he's got me a big book of AA, big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he says, come and meet me, and we'll start with step one. Got 12 by 12, and we slowly started to work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and you know, the God thing wasn't a problem for me. You know, I had been raised a Catholic for a lot of years, you know, and went to a Catholic school for 8 or 9 years, and I was an altar boy, and you know, like most good Catholics, you know, you get out of Catholic school, and I started to drink and use, and it was time to bust out. It was my coming out party, you know. I gave up on God. God didn't give up on me. So I had the God concept. And, you know, read the literature, okay? You know, if you have a problem with that, it's your own conception, you know? You know, AA is not a religious program, it's a spiritual program. And so I understood that. And I had enough courage to want to work and find my story and get through it. And slowly over the years, you know, I got on that pink cloud, you know, and life started to change, you know. And, you know, in that book, it talks about a spiritual experience, you know. You know, just speaking for myself, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, you know, sometimes I don't have enough courage to talk about what I believe in. But, again, you know, it's just a spiritual program. I'll tell you what I believe in. You know, at 3 months sober, when I was working on that four step, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was living alone at that time, and I was just overwhelmed with this peaceful, serene feeling, you know. I was awake. I didn't have any problems sleeping, you know. And I knew I was awake, and I was just overwhelmed. For the first time in my life, I just felt at peace. And just a little bit. And I said, nah, this can't be happening to me, you know. What the hell's going on with me, you know? But I knew I had something there, you know. And I can tell you, that's been the beginning of a lot of spiritual experiences here over the last 20 years. You know, I've been touched by people and by certain experiences in my life that, you know, that you people will understand, you know. And I would play it down, you know, because left to my own devices, you know, I could not stop drinking. You know, after 3 years, after 1 year, you know, after 5, 15, 20, you know, I look back, I couldn't do this alone. Is there something greater than myself? Of course there is, you know? And I truly believe in that. Life changed over the years. You know, I met my wife, you know. I tell you about relationships. I had been divorced for I was divorced at 20. I was, about that time, I was 34 or 35 years old. And the last thing I ever wanted, I'm lying. I was lonely, okay? I didn't want to spend my life alone. But I knew that I belonged in AA. I knew I belonged in this room, you know. But my sobriety was going to come first. And so I worked on it. And I'm grateful enough that I was able to spend the time and put the time and an effort to build a foundation in AA, because that comes first. You know, like that book says, wife or no wife, job or no job. You know, my sobriety comes first after all these years. I told my wife this morning, hey, sponsor called me, I got to go to the speaker meeting. Have a great evening. Have a good meeting. You know, and that comes first. My sobriety comes first before anything, you know, because, you know, that book also tells me, you know, if I go out and drink, I'm going to die. You know, my backup here, my buddy, Mike, we were across the street here, El Presidente, you know. Wanted to get some chow, you know, and we're hungry, you know. And looking back, man, God, I used to party at a place like this, you know. And you look at the dark place, you know, all the wonderful lights and the booze and all that stuff, you know, it's like, nah. Nah, you know, because you know, I'm the type of alcoholic, you know, like they say here, you know. You know, I don't have anything original. I'll tell you that much, you know. Everything that comes out of my mind, out of my mouth, is plagiarized, you know. Only my stupidity is original, you know. I have nothing original, you know, none of my wisdom or anything. You know, my story is my story, you know. But for me to drink is to die. That's what that book tells me, you know. You know, if you start drinking across the street, one drink is too much and 100 ain't enough. And I don't know if you people understand that. You know, once I start drinking, that disease comes back, and it's like I've been drinking on for the last 20 years. And I tell you one thing, I can put my pride aside tonight and tell you that's the one thing I'm really afraid of. You know, Mr. Badass, I'm afraid of the booze because I know it will kill me. And so a lot of you people, And even the people that have been here for just a few months, you know, you can look back the last couple of months, you know, and like the old sermons would tell me, you know, a lot of people coming in, a lot of people coming in and out of this, come in and out of these rooms. Very few of us stay. Very few of us stay. A lot of us leave. And I can tell you, you know, the Village Group of Fresno has been my group for 20 years. We've lost a lot of people. We've lost a lot of people. Three in the last 4 years, you know. They had to take their lives because, you know, they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand sobriety. And sometimes it just gets too bad that we have to drink so we can, you know, we could just be okay, you know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I met my wife. She's got 24 years. I met her after my first year. We got married 3 years later, and we have a wonderful life put together, you know. And we have a good AA life. And I remember meeting her brother, Dick. Dick's now passed away, you know. And her brother, Richard, had 12-stepped years ago. Saved her life. And probably when I was about 6 years sober, he was over at the house. I was talking to him, and he was just dropping all these pearls of wisdom, you know. He had become a counselor, you know. He was helping heroin addicts try to get sober, you know. And he had been in AA all that time. And he left that night, and my wife Nancy started to cry. I go, "What's wrong, honey?" "That stolen soul is drinking again." Oh, my God, you know. Short of the story is, 3 years later, we tried to do an intervention on him. Went down south to Los Angeles, and went into his house, and he was drinking. He was drunk. He passed out, you know. And we tried to help him, and he said, "You know what? Hey, take your AA and just get out of my house," you know. A year later, you know, he got thrown out of a hospital because he beat up a nurse, you know. Because he was just a drunk, and, you know, they don't want drunks in hospitals, you know. They'll go to detox, you know. And 2 weeks before New Year's, I called him up, and he was kind of half-assed sober, you know. And I'm going, "Rich, what is it, man? You know, after all these years, what is it that you get? I mean, there isn't anything that people who have been in AA, there isn't anything that you can't tell them that they know already. There's nothing worse than being drunk and having a belly full of booze and a mind full of this big book right here, you know." He goes, "Marco, I just can't get that God thing, you know." 2 weeks later, he took his life. You know, chased it through the gates of insanity. Yeah, he did. He couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand sobriety. Oh, you know where I'm at now is that over the years, I heard a speaker years ago. Says he was talking to me because I was listening that night. He says, "Marco, don't compare. Just relate. Don't compare yourself to people in AA." I stopped comparing myself to my sponsor years ago. I respect his sobriety. You know, after all these years, I go to him, you know. It doesn't take me 2 hours to get down to the root of the problem. I can get to it in 5 minutes now, you know. Because, you know, for you people who are new, you know, most important thing for me, looking back, was getting a sponsor, you know. And by getting a sponsor, that person helped me through these steps, you know. A sponsor is somebody that I can go to, and I've got this problem in my life right now. And, you know, I cannot share it up here. You know, there's just certain things that you just don't share in meetings. So you look for somebody, like I did, and I found this person. He had been in AA for some years. I respected his sobriety. I liked what he had to say. I admired it, you know. And I took that leap of faith that night, and I trusted that man. I trusted him with everything in my life. So I take those things to him, you know, when I'm having a difficult time. And we go back and review the steps. And, you know, I can tell you, one thing I try to do is I try to model myself in the way that he has given the age. He just celebrated 33 years. And he has always been there when AA has asked him to. And he has a sponsor, Fred C. He's got, I believe, 36 years, and Fred's got a sponsor. I don't know how many years that he's got, you know. And what I try to model myself through is that I try to pass on what he had passed on to me, you know. I try to give away what's been freely given to me, and, you know, by just freely giving it away, I've been able to keep it, you know. And I truly believe in that, that it comes back to me tenfold, you know. You know, I am, I'll close here. My life has no meaning without AA. It has no meaning. I get up every morning and I remind myself that I'm an alcoholic and that my life isn't as well as it has gotten over all these years. It's still unmanageable. And no matter how hard I like to arm wrestle God, you know, I always give it back to him because I cannot do this alone, you know, and it's through the help of people like you, far greater than myself, that I continue to believe, and when I'm drinking one day at a time, I'm sober today. Thank you very much.